This morning, I have the privilege to introduce our speaker today. We have missionaries Dan and Angela Kirk and their kids with us today. This summer, as many of you know, we had a team go down and to work with them for a week. There was 10 of us that went, a mix of adults and students, and we just had a great time serving, had a lot of awesome experiences there, and saw that the work they're doing firsthand. Dan, as many of you know, grew up in this church and then was a pastor in North Carolina for a number of years and then felt God's call, he and his family's call, to work in Clarkston, Georgia. And Clarkston's they told us it's an interesting place before we came down, and we got to see it firsthand. The mix of cultures and nationalities and all that God's doing there is really, really profound. And I'm sure they'll share some stories about that and some of their experiences and the work they're doing there. But just so privileged to have them this morning. I'm excited to meet them again and see them again and fellowship with them. And so I encourage you, especially after the service, get a chance to talk to them one-on-one. They've got a little table back there with some more information. And we just want to do all that we can, because they came from this church, because they're connected to us, to pray and support them. But without much more ado, let's have them come and share with us this morning.
Thank you, Jason. So good to be here with you guys. As Jason said, I grew up in this church in Upper St. Clair. And I learned recently that Upper St. Clair is 96% Caucasian. And now I live in a town where it's 16% Caucasian. And so I went from being the vast majority to being the minority. And honestly, it was weird for me this time coming home and seeing so many white faces. It's a little strange. I'm not used to that anymore. But I'd like Angela to introduce our family.
So I did not grow up in this church, but upon marrying into this delightful Kirk family, I feel like I married into your family too. And it is very much like coming home. We feel like we are an extension of you in Georgia, and your love for us and support of the ministry that the Lord has given us in Clarkston has been tremendous, and we so appreciate you. In the service right now, we have our oldest son, Andrew. Stand up, smile. Andrew, just like his cousin, they're now 17-year-old boys. So you all were with us when they were tiny little guys. Abby is our second oldest. Stand up, wave. Abby's 14. Anna is 12. And thank you for clapping for them. That makes you feel like they stood up for something, right? And then Aaron and Ava Grace are in your children's program right now. Aaron is 9 and in fourth grade. Yes, they'll appreciate that. Thank you so much. And Ava Grace is in kindergarten and lost a tooth this morning. So if you'd like to have a conversation with Ava Grace, ask her to show you the hole in her mouth, and she'll be thrilled to do that. But we moved from a pretty average pastoral ministry into a very, what's considered the most diverse area in the United States. And like Dan said, it was an adjustment to start with, and we wouldn't have it any other way now. One of my friends recently texted me and said, "Hey, there's an opening here in a church, and you wouldn't have to raise your support, and you could come back home." And I wasn't tempted for a second. It's like, I don't think I could go back. The Lord has done great work in us. I also want to introduce to you one of my very first friend in Clarkston. So when I was clueless and we had just moved in, Deepa was just a friendly face. She lived in the English Oaks apartment complex and was just a few doors over from where our ministry base is. And Deepa just recently moved to Pittsburgh. Stand up, Deepa. You need to clap for her. So Deepa is a good friend. She's also a fantastic cook. She is Nepali and lives over, what's the name of the area you live now? Alden?
Alden Apartments.
She lives in Baldwin, okay? So she just moved at the beginning of December. She's in Baldwin now, and so I hope that you all will be able to continue to connect and support her. I love her dearly. I'm so thankful that if she had to move away, that this is where she moved. So Dan and I, Dan is the team leader for church planting with Envision Atlanta. One of our key goals is to see people come to know Jesus. We feel very privileged to be able to have grown up in areas where this was what we were taught, but many people have not had access to the truth of Jesus and God's word, and so we love that opportunity to be able to share, honoring where they are and where they came from, and honoring many of the gifts, the prayers that they have, the desires of their heart to know truth, and yet we have the opportunity to expose them to the truth of Jesus. So that's Dan's major job there. My role has changed multiple times. I, at this point, am the intern coordinator for Envision Atlanta, so I get to work with college students that are coming down to spend the summer or sometimes spend a year or two with us, learning about missions and learning about other cultures. So that has been a lot of fun for me. But Clarkston, for those of you that don't know, is part of the Metro Atlanta area. We came from Raleigh, where the Beltline that went around the city was called a Beltline, and I get laughed at now. In Atlanta, it's called the Perimeter, and Clarkston is right on the perimeter in Atlanta. So that's a picture of Atlanta zeroed in, and so we're right there at the northeast corner. Clarkston is 1.4 square mile town. It's not a suburb because it's very dense and it's very much in Atlanta, but it's very different from Atlanta. I am now so much more comfortable with Clarkston than I am with Atlanta, although I can drive in Atlanta now. Finally, I got to train Andrew how to drive in Atlanta. He's better than I am now. And Clarkston has about 38 apartment complexes in that 1.4 square mile. We have learned that in each apartment complex, there are several thousand people, many of them refugees, former refugees, people that have come from all over the world, seeking safety and freedom and peace in the United States. And it is such an honor to be able to love them, to welcome them, to enjoy learning about their cultures as well. So that's Clarkston. And Vision Atlanta is a huge, we have about 20 people on our team. So Dan and I are just a piece of that. We're thankful that you love our piece. You can love all of Envision Atlanta, but we're thankful for your interest in us. But we have, when we were here last, I was teaching English classes. Deepa was one of the, I don't think she really needed a whole lot of help with her English, but it was fun. She's got very good English skills. Deepa was one of the first people that came to my English class that I was teaching, and then she started bringing her friends and people that she knew in the area to allow me to practice teaching English on them. We now have a couple that's come down, and they are teaching English and have a little bit more freedom to go into people's homes. So we've got English classes. We've got, some of you know Mark and Cheryl Grossme. They're working in children's ministry. We're working toward getting some after-school care programs set up. We have a business team trying to start businesses that could eventually hire refugees to work and then build relationships with. So our team has a lot going on. And just a little bit ago, we did Happy Birthday Jesus parties in four apartment complexes. We served over 1,000 people lunch, gave out Christmas presents, and shared the gospel. And it was a delightful and exciting event that we do. So there's lots of things going on with Envision Atlanta, but we're going to tell you a little bit about some specific situations. So the picture that was up here, I'm sorry that I'm talking in circles, but that's your team with one of my other favorite people. So you've got Deepa right here with you in person. She's one of my favorite people. And Mama Amina is also one of my favorite people. Mama Amina is from Somalia, and she had 10 children and a husband. She was raised as a Muslim, as pretty much all of the Somalians are. I think Somalia is about 99.9% Muslim. And But the Lord opened her eyes and her heart, gave her a dream about Jesus, a vision. Actually, she'll tell me she was not asleep. It was very real. Jesus came to her, and she followed him, and following him cost her family their lives. So when her family all converted to Christianity, they were all killed, including Amina. She's got the scar across her neck, and she and all her 10 kids and her husband were all in a morgue, and a Kenyan doctor saw that there was a heartbeat still in her throat and sent her to a Kenyan hospital where she was there in rehab for a year and a half. She told me recently that Amina is not her given name. I forget what she told me it was. It starts with an H. But the doctor that took care of her there in Kenya had to give her a name and assign her a birthday and in order for her to have the paperwork filled out to become a refugee that could then be resettled in the United States. And so she recently turned 90 years old, and I've never been to a 90th birthday party where the person of honor was up dancing in the middle of the party. But your team got to clean her yard up. She does need help. She is exactly what James says when they talk about, when James in the Bible talks about taking care of the widow and the orphan and their distress, that she has been through more trauma. But because of her loss of those children, I think that's why she loves me, because she loves my children. She says, bring over my children. I need to see my grandchildren. And so we go over and serve her. Abby has helped me mop her floors. Andrew has done her yard more times than he'd like to admit. But we get to take care of her. And through that, then she says that Angela's her 911. So she will call me when she has an emergency, but she also calls me when she has an opportunity. So she called me one day and said, Angela, you must send Dan over right now, which any of you married women know that looking at your husband and saying, you've got to go right now, do this right now. He's like, oh boy, he's not going to love to hear this from me. But she said, I have nice boys here, and we must save them from gang. We must save them from gang. And so I was like, Dan, Amina wants you to come see her right now. And he did, and had the opportunity to then, she had 8 Congolese boys that had just come by and said, can I do some yard work for you? Is there something we could do to, most people know where Amina's house is and come to her if they need something. And so these boys wanted to earn some money, and she wanted them to learn about the Bible. So she said, I want Dan to come over and lead them in a Bible study. And Dan was like, oh boy, these teenage boys are going to love me coming over and saying, you know, come on, let's have a Bible study. But indeed, it ended up being a fantastic divine appointment that would not have happened if I had not taken the time to just serve Amina. She can be a little needy sometimes, but I love to have that opportunity to serve her. And through these things, God's giving us divine appointments to share Jesus with people. I'll let Dan finish the story, because that's his.
Yeah. So I'll finish this story first. So Angela calls me up, says, come over. I go over, and she has all of them lined up on the couch. And they're all just looking at me. And I said, so you guys want to study the Bible? Uh-huh. And I was like, all right. And I said, all right. Well, if you guys are really serious about this, meet me on Monday at the soccer field in English Oaks Apartments, and we'll play some soccer, and then we'll study the Bible a little bit together. And I showed up Monday at the appointed time, and there was no one. And I thought, all right, well, they weren't really serious. So I waited about 45 minutes, and no kids. I thought, all right. And so I went on to my next thing. 15 minutes later, I get a call from one of my teammates. Hey, there's a group of Congolese boys over here in the soccer field. They say they're looking for you. And so I stopped what I was doing, and I went back, and we played a little soccer. I pulled out John 1, and we read the first chapter of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And I shared a little pictorial gospel presentation that I taught the team that came down. And I said at the end, now, I don't know if you guys have come to this place where you have received Jesus as your Savior and decided to follow him and give him your life. If you haven't, I'm going to just say a prayer. And if you want to pray that prayer, just pray with me. And so I prayed slowly, and I could hear some of them were repeating it after me. And, you know, that really excited me. And so at the end, I opened my eyes, and they opened theirs, and I said, all right, who prayed with me? And they all just kind of looked at me. And there were about 8 boys, I think. They all just looked at me. And I said, come on, guys. I know someone was praying with me. I heard you. Who prayed with me? And one of the boys spoke up and said, we all did. We all did. And wow. I was like, yeah, you know, you talk about feeling like you're floating. That was an incredible moment. We all did. We all received Jesus. And the next week, they all showed up. And we continued looking in the Bible. We did that for a few weeks, and then school started. And I kind of, they stopped coming to play soccer, of course, during the day because they were in school. And I was afraid that I had lost touch with them because, you know, they didn't have cell phones. But then one of our neighbors had been with us at one point and said, oh, I know his mom. I counsel her. And so through my neighbor, I got back in touch with them. It turns out they live in Portofino Apartments, which is one of the apartments that we were wanting to get into and start doing evangelism and meeting people and building relationships. And we have an intern that was with us last summer that loved it so much. She was doing her gap year. She was from Wisconsin. And she decided, well, I love this so much, I want to stay. And she joined our church planting team. And she is going to Crown College through a new program that's been established at our church, Lilburn Alliance Church. It's called All Nations Institute. And the point of that program is you can get a full education for about half the price that it would cost you to go to Crown, even. So anyway, Skylar is her name. She decided she wanted to move into Portofino Apartments. And this is the Lord. The Lord arranged it so that Skylar's apartment is right above one of the boys that I prayed with that day. Only God can do things like that. Her apartment is right above his. And so she has started a Bible study with with one of the families that is right behind his apartment, right there in her building. And now that is one of our house churches. And these boys are continuing to be reached through my teammate, Skylar. It's been exciting how God puts pieces together. I probably said to the team when they were down, I feel like so much of the time I just show up and God does things that amaze me. And I think that's true for a lot of ministry. The issue is we don't even show up because we are afraid. We think, oh, that's not going to work. We think, well, you know, maybe that worked in the past, but it doesn't work today. You know, but God has opened amazing doors for us in Clarkston. And I believe he's opening doors for you here. So I want you, as we speak, I want you to get a heart for what God is doing among the nations. Because the nations aren't just in Clarkston. The nations are here in Pittsburgh, too. Psalm 67 says, God, be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine on us, that your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. God's heart is and always has been for the nations. He chose the Jews in the Old Testament, but even to Abraham, he said, in your seed, all the nations will be blessed. God's heart is for the nations. If you look in Revelation chapter 5, you see the throne room of God, and they're saying, blessed be God, praise to the Lamb who has redeemed us from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. By your blood you've redeemed us. Even in at the very end of Revelation, when we see the temple and Jesus, it says there is no light because the Son of God, Jesus, is the light. And the water flowing from the temple, you can read it. You can check up on me. It's for the healing of the nations. God's heart is for the nations. And, you know, this psalm is talking about when God returns, when Jesus returns and makes everything right. And brings righteousness and judges rightly. The true king of the world is set upon the throne. But something has to happen before that happens. A.B. Simpson was asked one time, sir, do you know when Jesus will return? Can you tell us? And he said, yes, I can tell you exactly when he will return. But you have to promise to write it word for word. This was a newspaper reporter that was asking him. And he said, okay, I promise. When will Jesus return? And he quoted Matthew 24:14. This gospel shall be preached in all the earth among all the nations to every people group. And then the end will come. The king is coming. The king whose heart is for the nations is coming. But first, he has given us the opportunity, the responsibility, the privilege. Wow. The privilege to take the good news, the hope, the peace, the joy of the gospel to all people. As Angela said, Clarkston is home to refugees. There are among those refugees that I think there are about 150 people groups right there in Clarkston in that 1.5 square miles. If you broaden that to Metro Atlanta, it goes up dramatically to over 700 people groups in the Atlanta metro area. It's incredibly diverse. Among those people groups in Clarkston, there are about 90 that are on the unreached list, meaning they have no gospel, they have no Bible, they have no missionaries. They're unreached. Now, we have had an opportunity that has been presented to us in Envision Atlanta that is something that only God could do. One of the professors at Toccoa Falls College called us up one day and he said, you need to come out here and I want to share an opportunity that you have. And we sat down with him around a conference table and he said, I want to talk to you about camel's milk. They're like, camel's milk? He said, yeah, camel's milk. He had dealt a lot with Muslims, and particularly Somali Muslims. Somalia is a country that's on the Horn of Africa, the east side, I need to learn my geography, the east side of Africa where it comes into a horn and then comes down, that's Somalia. And Somalia is about 99.9% Muslim. I read a statistic last year that said there are only 10 known Somali churches in the world. But it turns out Somalians love camel's milk. And so this professor was presenting an opportunity that we had to partner with a guy out in the western U.S. who was using this to open doors to build relationships with Somalians. Now, he wanted to sell us the milk, and the milk is quite expensive. It's $10 for a pint. This pint would cost $10 for camel's milk. And we talked and we said, man, we don't have that kind of money. So we started looking into what it would take to raise camels ourselves. And it turns out that my director has built a really good relationship with DeKalb County, which is the county that Atlanta is in mostly. We have done several cleanups at parks in the area. I think we are the first nonprofit that the county has actually given an award to. Because we have teams come in and we put them to work. And so he's given us favor with the county. Pete was talking to one of the officials about camels one day. And he said, well, we've got land that we could probably give to you. And he said, really? He said, yeah. And we've got goats, too. You want goats? And he said, where are you getting goats? And he said, we confiscate about 100 goats every year from the apartment complexes in Clarkston. You know, they have goats. I saw one Congolese family that had a big garbage bag they were bringing in. And, you know, as they're carrying it up the steps, a hoof plops out. I was like, oh, all right. They were going to clean their goat and eat it. But so we have this opportunity to not only have camels, but also to have goats. And I'm telling you, only God can put these things together. This started as just a dream that particularly Pete, my director, had. I think even the rest of us on the team thought, this is kind of out there, raising camels. But God's continuing to open doors. Pete was speaking at a church in Atlanta recently, just a few weeks ago, and he was sharing this story about the camels and how he believed that God could use this to really open a huge door for us to reach the Somalian people in Clarkston. There are about 5,000 of them in Clarkston. As he was speaking, a camel walks in. They bring a camel in to the church. And he was like, whoa. And then they wheel in 40 pints of camel's milk. It's about $400 worth of camel's milk that they had purchased. It was all frozen. They gave it to us to start trying to open doors. And it turns out that the largest camel breeder in the East Coast goes to that church. And so God is continuing to move this dream into becoming a reality. And then, just a couple weeks ago, I got an email from One of my Envision workers that is working up in Minneapolis, which also has a large population of Somalians. There, it's even larger than Clarkston's population, but they're more spread out. And he said in this email, "I just learned that there is a zero zone people group in Clarkston." And I was like, zero zone? What in the world is that? Well, thankfully, he explained. This is a people group that has absolutely no Christians. Zero Christians, zero missionaries, zero gospel access, zero scripture. Zero. Nothing. He said, they are the Gera people. And they happen to be a people group that is Somalian. And he said, they're in Clarkston. And I don't think I've met one yet. But I want you guys to pray. I want you guys to pray that the Lord will open the door to the Gera people, that the Lord will open the door to the Somalian people in Clarkston this year. I want you to pray that God will bring this camel milk dream into full reality, that we will be able to get the land that the county has talked to us about, that we will be able to get camels, and that we will be able to find Gera people. It turns out that this people that lives in southern Somalia, this is Somalia, right above it is Ethiopia, and just to the left is Kenya. They live in that area of southern Somalia, northern Kenya, southern Ethiopia. And I want you to pray that God will enable us, that God will give us the open door to this people group, that we might be able to take them off of the unreached people group list. Pray for the Gera people. Pray that we will be able to share the gospel with them. Pray that we will be able to supply them with camel's milk. By the way, this was camel's milk. We drank it. This is now cow's milk. So just so you know. Full disclosure. But I was thinking about this, and So I hope this doesn't sound gimmicky, but I want you, if you are willing to pray at the end of this service, to come up, and I want you to pose with our little sign. I will pray for the Gera people of Somalia. We have little cards that you can put on your refrigerator to remind you, but I want you to take a selfie with the pint of milk and with the little sign, and then text it to us with your name and email address. If you are not on our email list, you are missing out. Angela writes some of the most incredible blogs that you will ever read in your life. And she's fantastic. She keeps people up to date with our ministry. And we would love to get you on our email list if you're not already. And it's a commitment. If you don't want to make that commitment, that's fine with me. But if you would like to commit to pray with us for the Gera people, that the Lord would reach them with the gospel, we would love to partner with you. And we hope to see a team again soon from Upper St. Clair. I don't know if that's in the works at all, but even if you would like to just come down and see Clarkston for yourself, the team can tell you it's like no other place in America. It's like being in a foreign country. The refugees sometimes, with their accent, call it Clarkistan, and we have kind of affectionately labeled it Clarkistan. It's its own country. I have a lot more to share. I'm out of time this morning, and so I'd like to pray for you. And I do have one more challenge. Deepa lives with her family in Alden Apartments in Baldwin. And there is a very large Nepali population in your apartment building, right? In your apartment complex. And I would encourage you, there's an opportunity there for you to build relationships. And Deepa is a great friend. I would encourage you to say hello to her and to get to know her and to connect with her. Get her phone number. Go visit her. I'm praying that the Lord would use you to reach the Alden Apartments and the Nepali community there. Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for all that you have used these people to do in my life, to teach me, to guide me, to build that foundation of Jesus Christ in my own life. Lord, and I pray that you would continue to build this church. Lord, that you would encourage them. And Lord, that you would give them your vision for the nations, that they would see that even though this area is not as diverse as Clarkston, that you have brought people from the nations here, and that responsibility and that privilege belongs to every one of us. I pray, Lord, that you would open their eyes and that you would give them joy. I pray, Lord, that you would remove guilt and shame of maybe not doing enough or not sharing the gospel enough, all those things that the enemy uses to discourage us. I pray that this church would be filled with joy, that you would bless them, and that you would continue to use them to share the good news of Jesus Christ here in Upper St. Clair and all around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.